recognizes the privacy of sin in our lives. Just a reminder that in the retreat, we are expected to make a confession. Also, best time is exposed for the obvious reason. Spend as much time as you can for our Lord and the Holy Eucharist in the retreat. The most important thing we need to do in the retreat is to pray. Ask God for help. You need it, I need it, constantly. Our present meditation is on the history of sin. Strictly speaking, the spiritual exercises of the first week begin with instruction. Out of your number one conscience, even several times a day. Believe me, we cannot too often or too deeply examine our conscience. There are also a set of directives on general confession and on communion. All the years, recommend without required that the retreatants make a general confession from the last year. But these are merely preliminary. The main concern when we call the first week of the exercises is on sin. This corresponds to the three points of the first exercise we are making into three meditations. The title is History of Sin. We cover the sin of angels, first parents, the person has been condemned a single mortal sin and has been hell for all eternity. First, then, some reflection on the sin of the angels. We can never hear this either too often or mention it on the fact too deeply. The first sin in creative history was that of the angels. That is our faith. For we are told by sacred scripture, they were created in a state of grace. Do not use your freedom according to the will of God, and disobey the Lord and Creator. The most important power we have on earth is our free will. Everything depends on how we use our free will. We were given our freedom to open our minds, know what God wants, obey Him, and thus be saved. But our first parents talk about sin having an ancient history. Our first parents do not want to give their freedom to God. Consequently, again I repeat, is not theological inquiry or theological theory, his own faith. They failed my pride. Are redeemed from the grace to possess the literal hatred of God. Reflecting on the sin of the angels. What is the purpose of this meditation? Is to arouse in all of us sorrow for sin, so that I may be filled with shame and confusion when I compare this one sin of the angels with the many sins that I have committed. I would consider that they went to hell for one sin. I repeat, is not theological theory, it is a truth defined by the Church of the Catholic Faith. Only God knows how often we have all grievously sinned. But the purpose of our present reflection is to realize that one mortal sin is enough for God to send that soul all eternity into hell. Talk about mystery. It therefore defined the faith of the Catholic Church. And the demons now in hell were all originally good angels in God's friendship. By the abuse of their free will, they condemned themselves to eternal punishment. I've been a priest 52 years, and I've preached many retreats, have counseled many people. The one thing that we all need, be with the speaker, is a deep realization of the awful power we have in our free will. If it is God's will to call us out of this life after we've sinned gravely without having repented, we shall go to hell. How we need, dear God, how we need, once more, desperately we need to realize a merciful God has with every one of us. I don't know, only God knows, but I believe had we died after committing our first mortal sin, we would now be in hell. We have free will. But the angels, we can abuse that freedom and accept for the mercy of God. Have we died after committing our first mortal sin, you would not be here. You would be in hell. I like to quote from some maxims of St. Ignatius. Oh God, says Ignatius, God of infinite goodness, how do you bear with a sinner such as I am? That is not rhetoric. example, the invasive species. I have never treated of the things of God with a great sinner without finding him, his invasive species, better than myself, not having gained much good for my soul. Oh, dear God, dear Lord, where we should be of our, of my grave sins, except for the mercy of God, having committed our grave sins, which I feel safe addressing any audience I speak to. There may be exceptions. You've all seen gravely. I'm quoting Ignatius, the shortest, and almost the only way to achieve sanctity is to have a horror for all which the world loves and embraces. Oh, what am I saying? The shortest and only sure way of achieving sanctity is to have a horror, a hatred for all the world loves and embraces. Living in the world, all you have to do is read the papers. But you have to go through the whole paper. You have to read the front page. All you have to do is read one of our popular national magazines, Time, Life. Realize how widespread, how commonplace, how take for granted is sin. Now the sin of our first parents is a teaching of the church that no less than one-third of the angels sin by their pride. And our first parents followed suit by disobeying God at the dawn of human history. I feel safe in saying a sinner is talking to sinners. All we need to realize the widespread consequence of that first, what we commonly call original sin. Because of this sin of our first parents, they depended for a long time the age of Adam when he died is commonly calculated at 900 years. And as a result of that first sin, there's a widespread, and I mean widespread, corruption came on the human race that caused, I'm quoting Ignatius, so many to be lost in hell. I am speaking to human beings. You're all still alive in this world. For a few more years, which I could say for a few more seconds. Over the denominator of eternity, What's 100 years? A very small fraction. Not only the sin of Adam and of Eve have tragic consequences on them personally, corruption touched their descendants, every one of us. You fathers know how soon children begin to do wrong. There are three consequences for these nations. Because of the sin of our first parents, we are conceived without the state of grace. Every one of us, came into this world without the title to heaven. Because of the sin of our first parents, we are deprived of bodily immortality. Every one of us will die. Like two more verbs. Every one of us will die and rot and stink. As we Because of the sin of our first parents, we are all deprived of that body of mortality that God first intended for the human race. We all must die. But at greater length, because of the sin of our first parents, none of us any longer has the ability and control of our desires. How soon, how very soon in life, we begin to sin. We have lost the gift of integrity possessed by our first parents. Without his gift, you all naturally, spontaneously, prone to pride, to lust, to anger, to greed, to envy, to sloth and gluttony, the seven capital sins. I repeat, we are naturally prone to sin. Everyone in chapel this morning. Having sinned, we are told by sacred scripture, our first parents did penance for a long time. Their disobedience will have its consequences on earth until the end of time. Two people, originally only one, Adam, and his wife Eve, sinned. That's why we all get sick. We all will die because of that first sin committed by our first parents. Oh, dear God, how conscious, how painfully, how dreadfully conscious we should be of the awfulness of sin. We're living in a world which I dare say has canonized sin. It is years now. 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I very seldom even look at the Daily Maker. While reading the papers is spontaneous temptation to sin. Whatever we should learn from this, it ought to be to teach us the gravity of sin in the armies of God. You're in this world only a very short time. Suppose we live 100 years. What is 100 years over the denominator of eternity? We should be inspired with a horror of sin. The purpose of this meditation is to realize the devastating effects of the human family, of the sin of one person. Who was the first one in the human race that was tempted by his sin and gave in? Who was it? Strength. I can say this 52 years in the priesthood, 64 years in the Society of Jesus. Women can be, and God intends to be, a great inspiration for men. But dear God, they can also be a seductive temptation to sin. You know, two quotations from St. Ignatius. First, I could never persuade myself that these two things are so combined, neither in man as in myself. On my part, to have sinned and so much, and on God's part, we have sinned so many blessings from Him. I say this with the completest conviction of my faith. There is a hell. There is a hell. And we can all go to hell. All that is necessary is to die without the stain of grace. What sacrifice we should not be willing to make. What we should not be willing to give up. anything, everything in this world. While the Lamb, in a mortal sin, and thus risk the dangers of hell. Another quotation, St. Ignatius. May it please Our Lady to stand between us, poor sinners, and her Son, our Lord. May she obtain for us the grace that in the midst of our sorrows and trials, she may make our cowardly and sad spirits strong and joyous to praise Him. I would like to repeat this. The worldly, cowardly, and sad spirits. I am saying this to men in whose faith I believe. Let's be honest. For ourselves, we are cowards. Let's look back of our past lives and see what cheap things have led us into sin. How we need courage, courage to resist sin. No matter how attractive, how pleasant, how sweet, how smiling that temptation to sin may be. It's just about half finished the present meditation. Now a brief reflection on a person again. Hell for one mortal sin. Ignatius wants us, his sons, to give this meditation on one person who is being condemned to hell for committing one grave sin. We get some idea of the major awareness of the gravity of sin. It tells us, I'm quoting, meditating on a person who has lost his salvation for all eternity because of one mortal sin. It is further tells us, consider also the countless others and lost forever for fewer sins than I have committed. Thank God I am alive, speaking to you, still living human beings. In God's name, the name of the Almighty, in the name of the Almighty, let's make sure we are aware of the gravity of sin, and the awareness comes from realization there is a hell. It is not a word of profanity. It's widely used in our nation today. Hell is a reality. Over the years, I've had many books. some pity about Ignatius. They put him down, he's a quote-unquote Catholic writer. Put Ignatius down as a Renaissance fundamentalist. Others have dismissed his few mortal spin as poetic fancy. I seldom say this. Most of the books, most of the magazines, not only Catholic, published in our day. Here I say it. Are not Catholic. Both Ignatius, my father, and God, was no dreamer. His zeal for saving sinners helped save the Western world from moral annihilation. Once Martin Luther, a priest for 15 years, lost his Catholic faith. No one was bewitched by a woman. As Luther, that end of the world, what is it anymore? Two factors in this meditation bring out the importance of what I'm sharing with you. First, the rising tide of the whole era of so-called fundamental option and the resurgence of the heresy of originism. Not a class in theology. I think both deserve some explanation. Condemned by the Holy See in 1975, the fundamental option claims that no single crime is ever a mortal sin. One abortion, one adultery, is never a mortal sin. I repeat, this can be found in one not only Catholic article and book after another. It is clean only when a person, is so depraved to totally reject God, can begin to speak of a mortally sinful humanity. Then the strange heresy, originism, spelled O-R-I-G-E-N-I-S-M, believe me, is not an antiquated name. The list of the early church denied is that anyone is condemned permanently to hell, or at least any human beings, that any human beings are punished for eternity. The prevalent idea today is to question I know what I am saying. You're going to read thousands, I mean thousands of pages of Nalini Kathy books in bright, shiny vermarkers without one mention of hell. In my over 30 years of work for the Holy See, I've been commissioned by the Holy See more than once to write and then contact a bishop and visit him. Play with him in God's name. In God's name, stop writing what you're saying and start writing what you're not saying. I seldom mention names, but the coroner, Archbishop of Los Angeles, needs our prayers. Let's say Hail Mary together for the Archbishop Cardinal of Los Angeles. Hail Mary.
All grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Have mercy on him, O Lord. Have mercy. So much for the so-called fundamental option. The originism. Spelled before O-R-I-G-E-N. ISM going back to the early church, but he's coming back in our day. Wisdom denies either anyone is ever permanently condemned in hell, or at least any human being are permanently punished in hell. The prevalent idea today is to question whether anyone is certainly in hell. Hell may become a password, an expression of anger, or casual remark. Now some maxims of St. Ignatius. Nothing, said Ignatius, can be done to lessen the good name of another or to complain about him if I reveal a hidden mortal sin of another. I sin mortally. Hear it. I reveal the grave sin of another person, not commonly known. I commit a mortal sin. I sin gravely. What I reveal about other people is itself gravely sinful. On the subject of sin, are we ever allowed to speak? speaking about the sins or moral failings of another person. Yes, but listen to what the qualifications are. First, when the sin is public, and the case of a woman openly living in a shameless life, or a sentence passed in court, or a common known error infest the minds of those with whom we live, then I may speak of, recall, repeat, but make clear what I believe. That is a grave sin. Again, when the hidden sin of a person is revealed to someone with the intention to help the one who is in sin to rise from the state, but then there must be some valid and strong ground for believing that what I reveal about that person will bring that person back to God. We are speaking about sin. Sin is so common nowadays, so widespread, so public, so widely publicized, so commonly accepted, that what arouses me to I begin this retreat, it is to become conscious of the Catholic Church's teaching about sin. We'll go back to this more than once before the retreat is over. In God's name I beg all of you to make frequent confession of your sin. I've said this before, I'll repeat it. I'm not ashamed to say it. For the last 50 years, I have sincerely tried to go to confession every day. Sinners. You and I, we're all sinners. There are Catholic churches nowadays that have few, some almost any confessions. Whatever you can do, shall I say, to increase your frequency of going to confession, in God's name, do it. And no wind can you commit a mortal sin to go to confession. The scriptures tell us that a just man falls 7 times a day. We are all sinners. Whatever else I want to leave a clear and deep impression on you, as a Buddhist meditation, is that we are sinners. and let me, we daily, daily examine our conscience. May I beg all of you not to retire at night before you've examined your conscience, and then beg for God's mercy. St. Ignatius recommends that we keep a record, a daily record of our sinful failings every day. We don't pass it around, we don't display it, but we do it. I use my own. I would recognize abbreviation system. What I want to do on the fruit of this meditation is to convince every one of us, be with the speaker, your all daily sinners. Whatever with God's ways you can do, to become more aware, more conscious of your sinfulness in God's name, do it. You have only one life to live in this world. When we die, only one final option. Either go to heaven, though you go to purgatory, or you go to hell. Strange to say, the first purpose of making a retreat is to keep the retreatants out of hell. It is not a byword. It is not a one word of profanity. Hell is a reality. And we should be conscious of our own sinfulness day after day. May God's mercy, because we have sinned. One more thought before we leave this meditation. As sinners who daily offend God, we are told by the same writings, the just man offends God, just a casual figure, 7 times a day. As sinners, let's be sure at the beginning of the retreat we are conscious of the need we have to do penance. Do you hear me? We are sinners. You've offended God. Hear the two words. They go together as cause and effect. Sin and pain. There's no pain in the world anywhere except for sin. Having sinned, we should voluntarily, and we repeat the adam, voluntarily accept and embrace pain. Oh, dear God, what a world we're living in. Where so many people are daily and constantly all day avoiding whatever is painful. You don't have to look for pain. It's part of our lives. Let's be clear. Pain is whatever is contrary to our wills. Now the deepest pain is not in the body. Hear it. The deepest pain is in the soul. How we, God is saved, should embrace the pain in our lives to expiate our own sins and the sins of others. Let me be as clear as I can. Without pain, no one enters heaven. You all sin. Lord Jesus, we beg you, enlighten our minds to see how frequently, how deeply we have sinned. It was not only an emotional sorrow for our sins. Now I'm telling God I'm a sinner, but live our faith. Live our faith. I mean every word of this sentence. By embracing pain willingly, dare I say, joyfully. Because pain in this world is a condition for reaching heaven in the world to come. Expiate our own sins and the sins of more than 6 billion other people in the world, many of whom are deep, profound sinners. Lord Jesus, you, the living God, became man for one reason, for one reason, for one reason. You might die on the cross to expiate sin. Protect us, dear God, from ever running away from the cross. We need the cross in our lives. You and yours, I and mine. To expiate our own sins and the sins of so many. For any person we dearly love to have and are deeply offended the loving God. Dear Lord, give us a profound understanding of the gravity of sin so the rest of our lives will embrace the suffering and pain that God sends us. Because it is in this way that we expiate our own sins and the sins of the world in which we live. Lord Jesus, have mercy on us sinners. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.